As Father Meng mentioned last week, we're going to do a four-part homily, this is the second part, about prayer over Advent. So he did all the homilies last week, and I've got all the ones this weekend. So if you like my homilies, you're in luck, and you have good taste. If you don't, then well, I'm the only game in town, so you're kind of stuck with me. And what I'm talking about today, after the introduction that Father Meng gave, is about the types of prayer. And rather than give an academic study on the various forms of prayer, the easiest way to talk about these types is to talk about one moment in prayer, one time when we would sit down and pray. Because if we're really having a serious time of prayer, all of the different kinds of prayer should probably play into that. Now, yes, there's plenty of times where we have just a moment where we say an Our Father and a Hail Mary. That's great. We should do that throughout our day. Or checking in with God and just sort of letting him know what's going on and what we need help with in that moment, or what we're praying for, or somebody that we're hoping will receive some sort of grace. That's a wonderful thing to do throughout our day too. But we should really strive also to have that dedicated time to pray to the Lord. When we do that, then we really have a chance to commune with him, to have a real relationship with him. And there's a few things that play into this, what types of prayer. The first thing is that we often forget that we are not pure spirits. We talk about prayer as being the spiritual life, and it is. But we as human beings are composite beings made up of body and soul, both matter and spirit. So the first thing we should do when we pray is to really check in with ourselves, even before we check in with God. Because by examining where we are, we can prepare in different ways to begin the time of prayer. So for instance, I might ask myself, am I healthy or have I been under the weather? Is there some nagging injury that's been bothering me? Am I at peace? Are things going well? Or have I just had something that fills me with anxiety, a meeting I didn't enjoy or an encounter I didn't plan for, something that looms over my life that's causing me anxiety? Am I happy? Are things going well? Could I jump up from prayer and do something else and be happy about it, and I'm forcing myself to be calm and stay in prayer? Or am I perhaps sorrowful and sort of sapped of energy? If we start to examine where we are in that moment, we can begin to, first of all, know what types of distractions or issues we're going to face, and then also give that over to God and ask him to help us with whatever it is we're going through or wherever we happen to be in our emotional and physical health. Having checked in with ourselves then and realized where we are and given that over to God, we can begin that time of prayer in earnest. Now, I think a great way to start prayer is always with verbal prayer. Verbal prayer gets a bad rap because folks often say, well, that's just repeating somebody else's words. Prayer is really about opening our hearts and speaking with God one-on-one. Well, prayer is both. We can never throw away verbal prayer because we remember that when the apostles asked Jesus, how do we pray, he gave them a verbal prayer, the Our Father. And we can't improve upon the words of Jesus. The Our Father is that perfect prayer, and to think that not only Jesus himself prayed that prayer, but every single saint, every single person who has ever been canonized a saint has prayed the Our Father. Likewise, a prayer like the Hail Mary, which is the very words of Scripture by the angel Gabriel. He was the first to pray that prayer. And the second part, which then commends our life to Mary, who draws us closer to Christ. Also a great prayer. And then finally, the Glory Be, wonderful prayer, because that reminds us of the action of the Holy Trinity. These are all the prayers also, incidentally, that are in the Rosary. Rosary is a great way to start prayer because a Rosary recognizes that we are body and soul. It does this because we're using verbal prayers, that's our voice. We're meditating upon the mysteries of Christ's life. And we're also doing a physicality of moving beads or counting fingers, whatever we have. The Rosary is a prayer given to us by our Blessed Mother because she knows who we are as human beings. After that time of verbal prayer, though, it is important to speak to God honestly from our heart. This often comes as the fruit of meditation. Now, meditation is something that is so often seen as mysterious or difficult, somehow esoteric and removed from us. But it's not that hard. Meditation is simply asking the Lord where He's present in our life, what it is that He wants for us to understand. So one way that's great to start is to read the Scriptures. You know, all of Scripture is great for meditation, especially the Gospels. When our Lord inspired the sacred writers, He was just inspiring them to inspire the church and the 2,000 years of Christians that have lived, but also He had each of us individually in mind. The Gospels, in a real way, are a love letter from God to each one of us individually. So we can take a story or even just a few lines of Scripture and meditate upon what the Lord is asking us to do or wants to say to us or how He wants to challenge us or comfort us in that Scripture passage. Once we've done that, we begin to hear the Word of God. We begin to get better at hearing what it is that He's telling us. It takes practice. Meditation, like anything else, is an art. And we're not going to be instantly really good at it. But it's something that with God helping us along, we can become good at rather quickly. But we have to continue to do it, to overcome the challenges, and to open up our heart more and more to what God's trying to tell us. Another good way of meditating is just to think about how our life has been going recently, or even how our life as a whole has been going, and to examine where Christ is present in that. One of the best questions a spiritual director can ask when he's told something that's going on in somebody's life, or when the person who's being directed is talking about something that went on in the past, is to ask, where was God in that? When we start to ask ourselves those questions, we see the providence of God acting in our lives. So meditation is pretty simple. It's just opening our mind to either a scripture, some other holy reading, or an event in our own life and asking the Lord where He's present in that, what He wants us to know. And we can spend a lot of time digesting that. It's something we can go back to multiple times. It's not that we meditate on one thing and we move on. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we can meditate on the same thing for a long while and always produce fruit from it. And then after that time of meditation, that's where we can begin our prayers of petition. To really start to bring our needs, our desires, and those for the people around us to the Lord. We first of all should always pray for the grace necessary for our salvation, because that is a prayer that will never be denied. And then from there, we can pray for those in our lives. We can pray for our church and our world, which are so often so very broken. And we bring that to the Lord in our prayer. And the final part of prayer after our petitions should be thanksgiving and a resolution. Thanksgiving because we're not doing God any favors by praying to Him. When we pray, we're opening up our heart to the God who loves us perfectly and can give us more than we could ever receive otherwise. Because prayer is a small sacrifice for us. We take some of our valuable time and we give it over to God with the trust and the faith that He will turn that time into something much greater than we could ever have done on our own. However we could spend that time, the time we spend in prayer, we're guaranteed to gain fruit from it. Sometimes we feel that, sometimes we don't, but we can know and trust God that He's working through that time of prayer. And then finally, a resolution, because every encounter with Christ should change us in some way. So at the end of prayer, we should really ask the Lord, where are You calling me to change my life? In large ways or in small, what are the things I can do to be more like You, Lord? How can I become more Christ-like? In that way, then, we walk away with a new idea of who we're meant to be, of what the best version of ourselves really looks like. This can also be a fruit that leads to wonderful confession. So many people who pray deeply have sins that maybe they never even thought of rise to the surface. and they can bring that to the Lord in the sacrament of confession for healing. We also then have our liturgical prayer that's connected so intimately, because as we decide to change, we have those resolutions, we receive the Eucharist, which means that God is dwelling within us. It means that when we pray, God is not a reality out there somewhere, He's in here. The same God that made the universe, that created everything and keeps it in existence every moment, who has existed from all time, has chosen to live in each of our hearts. And through this cycle of prayer, we have a deep encounter with the one who loves and knows us perfectly. So ultimately, we're each called to enter into prayer, to make time for it, and then to allow it to change us. There is always going to be fruit to prayer. We may not see it overnight. If you pick up a musical instrument, you're not going to be good at it instantly. But as you practice prayer, as you live out these meditations, as you pray the Our Father, as you ask God to bless you and the people around you, and as you resolve to change your life, each time you become a little bit closer to God. Time with God is never wasted, because time with God is going to be what gives us the grace we need to both be joy-filled here in this life, in spite of the trials and crosses that we endure, and ultimately to be happy with Him forever in heaven.